Thank you. I hope that's loud enough. You can hear okay in the back? May, can you hear me? Can you hear me, May? Okay. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with this lesson. Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Just to be able to open up your book, Lord, and to study it and to hear about the future and things that will happen. Lord, thank you for including us into that, into prophecy, that we might know what might be ahead for this planet. Thank you, Lord. The best is yet to come. We may go through some rough times, but soon we'll be in your presence, Lord, and we long for that day when this all the aches and pains and all the problems of this life are behind us. And Lord, we know that all of those things we give you praise for, the hardships, because they cause us to long for heaven all that more. And they show us the fragility of life, Lord, and how easy it is taken away from us. Thank you, Lord, for that gift, and thank you for the trust that you've given us with that gift, that we might live for you. Now, Lord, we want to learn about this enemy of yours and ours, and that we might have more intelligence and understanding what he does. So open up our hearts and minds, Lord, and be our teacher today, and may we glean something good from this that we can take home and chew on. And Lord, help those that have come with heartaches and troubles and health issues, that those needs might be met today, that they might be encouraged for being here and in your word. And we'll simply give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, history is full of names of infamous tyrants who brutalize people for their own gain. Stalin killed millions. Chairman Mao has killed millions. One good thing about Mao is that he vowed to get rid of the word and anything to do with Christianity. Probably has the strongest church in the world in his country, and he is no more. Then there was Hitler. But a man is coming in the future who will make the brutes of the past seem tame. He is the opposite of Jesus Christ. He will unleash hell on earth. He will be very charismatic. He'll have a golden tongue as an orator. He will speak pompous words, be boastful. And I have a quote here from Charles Colson's book on, lots of prophets that he's written about. But this is about Hitler. Hitler offered himself as a messiah with a divine mission to save Germany. On one occasion, he displayed the whip he often carried to demonstrate that in driving out the Jews, I remind myself of Jesus in the temple. He declared, just like Christ, I have a duty to my people. He even boasted that just as Christ's birth had changed the calendar, so his victory over the Jews would be the beginning of a new age. What Christ began, he said, I will complete. At one of the Nuremberg rallies, a giant photo of Hitler carried the caption, "In the beginning was the Word." Talk about pompous. Well, he'll also be cunning. In the book of Daniel, we pick up that he'll be full of intrigue and he'll be deceitful. The Antichrist's power to elevate himself by destroying others. That's how he gets up to the top. He'll kill off three kings to take charge. And that's all found in Daniel. He also will be cultic. He will demonstrate a religious-like fervor to attract followers to himself, and especially away from God. He'll speak pompous words against the Most High and he'll persecute the saints. He'll be cruel. He'll devour the whole earth and trample it and break it into pieces. He'll spare no one in his quest for world government and world power. He has many names. He has the prince that shall come, a king of fierce countenance, a master of intrigue, a despicable man, a worthless shepherd, the man of destruction, a man of lawlessness, the evil man, the beast, the antichrist. And of course, his number is 666. And didn't God give that to us so we can figure out who it is? Well, when the time comes, that number is going to be very important. And I'd just like to take a second here to let you know that if Bibles are allowed to survive, the Antichrist will do away with them as much as he can. But if they're allowed to survive, the people during the Great Tribulation, which is not only the Antichrist doing his things, but it's also God pouring out his wrath through bowls and trumpets in the book of Revelation. It's going to be a really bad place to be around. And when they pick up the Bible, it'll be like picking up a newspaper. And it will read, and they'll have understanding that what's going on. And I believe many, many people will come to Christ during that time. At least I would pray for that. They say if you Google Antichrist or who is the Antichrist on the internet, you'll see that they have 1.5 million hits per day. People are very fascinated in who he is. But I have to tell you, in 2 Thessalonians 2, and you must see this for yourself, I try to give you everything out of Scripture, and I know you get tired of looking up all the verses, but I want you to be sure that you know that I don't come up with these things out of my own thinking. So we must remember as Christians, 2 Thessalonians 2, or actually in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes away first. Then the man of sin is revealed, then the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. And it's this coming world leader will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. And that's according to 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3 and following. So, if you are here when the Antichrist is revealed, you'll have been left behind. That's Tim LaHaye's. All of his books are about that and the rapture of taken. But you know, I've been a Christian quite a while now, and I've heard all kinds of people have been presented as the Antichrist. And you'll get this from day to day. Really, it's that prevalent in our society. People are dreaming up ways to figure out who's the Antichrist. But there was one I read about this last week that I hadn't heard before because I wasn't a Christian at the time. But it happened back in 1960. At the Democratic Convention in 1960, John F. Kennedy got 666 votes. Now, after he was elected president and was shot through the head, many thought that as he lay in state in the rotunda, he would come out of his casket and become the ruler of the world. So I thought about that for a while. I thought, because thousands and thousands of people, you know, walked by his coffin. It was just devastating here in the country. We were just so, such a tragic thing. But can't you just see it? If the flag falls to the ground and the casket lid comes out, you'd say, whoa! wonder how many women would have fainted. Well, you probably figure I'm making this one up too. But the Antichrist is going to do exactly the same thing. He's going to get shot in the head and he's going to rise from the dead. Now that's going to be a pretty good trick, don't you think? So where do you find that? You find that in Revelation 13. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I think it's at this point in Revelation 13 is where the Antichrist actually becomes satanically indwelt. Verse 2, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it goes on, and he speaks great blasphemies against God. But so I didn't make that up about John F. Kennedy. That's people actually thought that. I think that's kind of interesting. So you know that the Antichrist in the future is going to do the same. Now Hitler's been suggested he was the Antichrist, and he's going to come back. And Kissinger, and Nixon, and just about anybody. But we won't know who he is, but we can know that he'll be a charismatic personality. He'll sway the masses with his speaking ability. I'll give you you've probably seen this on television at some time on the History Channel, but have you ever watched some of the old history of old films on Hitler when he had those mass rallies? You think there are millions of people and they're all in order. It's just something else. So there's a little blurb in this book from It's Kingdoms in Conflict by Charles Colson. And it's referring back to Hitler's time. Solemn symphonic music began the setup. The music then stopped. A hush prevailed and a patriotic anthem began. And from the back, walking slowly down the wide central aisle, strutted Hitler. Finally, the Führer himself rises to speak, beginning in a low, velvet voice, which makes the audience unconsciously lean forward to hear. He speaks of his love for Germany, and gradually his pitch increases until he reaches a screaming crescendo. But his audience does not think his rasping shouts excessive. They're screaming with him. I know every time I see that on a History Channel, I think of the Antichrist and the following that he'll have down the line. It'll be just so much more than that. I lost Daniel here. Well, Daniel tells us the Antichrist's appearance was greater than his fellows. He's going to be strikingly attractive. He'll have a magnetic personality, an amazing speaking ability, extreme good looks. You imagine all the women that are going to be following this guy. He'll be irresistible to the masses, and they'll do anything he asks. Isn't that frightening? He'll do anything he asks. He's going to be cunning, according to Daniel. It talks about horns, and I have to tell you what horns represent, and you probably won't believe me unless I give you the verse. Daniel 7:24 is important because it talks about the 10 horns are 10 kings. And if you can just make a mental note of that, that a horn represents king, then when you read it, superimpose king instead of horn, and it'll all make sense. Horn just stands for authority. I don't know if you've ever seen Michelangelo's Moses, but he has two horns. And people, his statue is just amazing. But people have asked, why does he have horns? The reason he has horns, it shows authority. And that's in Daniel's chapters here, this he's speaking about horns, but kings makes more sense. The Antichrist will squeeze out the old to make room for the new. He'll come in peace, all the while making plans for war, and he'll seize the kingdom. He'll do it by intrigue. That'd be Daniel 11:21. Now, it's kind of hard to follow around in Daniel. Daniel's a difficult book only because it's not in consecutive order. It's not in a time sequence, so you have to pick and choose. But it's all there. He'll be a political genius and masterful diplomat and a clever leader. One day, this cunning super leader will arise and use his manipulative ability to succeed where all other diplomats failed. In doing this, he will resolve the Israeli-Arab conflict. In fact, he will sign a covenant with them. And the Jews are just going to be taken off base. They're going to think this is their Messiah. And I think the rest of the world, for the most part, will too. It's when he sets himself up on the throne of God that he'll get into big trouble. But that's halfway through the tribulation. Well, during the Great Tribulation, new converts will come to Christ, and this will infuriate the Antichrist. And he'll take out his wrath on these new Christians, and they will be martyred. The word persecute in Daniel 7:25 means to wear out, mercilessly tortured by this unthinkable, cruel man. I'll give you another blurb. This is all from Charles Colson's book, but I found it so interesting. The first Nazi concentration camp opened in 1933. In one camp, hundreds of Jewish prisoners survived in disease-infested barracks on little food and gruesome, back-breaking work. Each day, the prisoners were marched to the compound's giant factory where tons of human waste and garbage were distilled into alcohol to be used as a fuel additive. Even worse than the nauseating smell was the realization that they were fueling the Nazi war machine. Colson goes on to say that as a result of the humiliation and drudgery of their lives, dozens of the prisoners went mad and ran from their work, only to be shot by the guards or electrocuted by the fence. Hitler and the Nazis did not annihilate the Jews all at once. They deliberately and systematically wore down their souls. And that gives us a picture of what will happen in the tribulation when the Antichrist is in power. He'll be cruel, blood-shedding leader, taking out his wrath on the saints who come to Christ under his regime. Remember, he'll be politically inconspicuous when he comes on the scene. He's going to worm his way up by killing off the other kings around him. He'll not enter with fanfare. You would think if it were Satan that he would want to come on a flying white something and really present himself, but he doesn't. He's going to be very inconspicuous. And he'll squeeze his way in little by little. The little horn will grow into a big horn. The little king then will take over these other bigger kings. And he'll come up from ordinary people, very much like Hitler did, one of the common people. I should let you know, too, that both Stalin and Hitler went to seminary. And it's kind of a mind-boggling, isn't it, that they would have a religious background. But the Antichrist will be coming up through the revived Roman Empire. You know, we studied that in lesson 10. And why do we have to study about Europe? We don't know anything about Europe. But the point is, we have to kind of keep that in the back of our minds, because the Antichrist will keep come up through the revived Roman Empire. And we saw in our study that it was unstable because it was made with clay and iron mixed together, which doesn't mix. And the point is that he'll be a Gentile. He'll be spiritually blasphemous. And according to 2 Thessalonians and Revelation 13:8, he'll make a new calendar. And you think, why would he do that? Well, he wants to get rid of anything that would be reflective of Christ. He certainly would want to change the holidays and have the holidays around him. And I don't know, I guess it's just kind of what's happening with our textbooks, with our kids in school, how they're rewriting history. They're taking out anything that's Christian, and I just hate to see what they've done to George Washington and many others. It's very sad. Well, he'll be a terrifying person. He'll be the epitome of evil. He'll be totally negative. He'll be against anything that's good. He'll be someplace along the line. I think it's in chapter 13 of Revelation, we pick up the fact that Satan, I think he's possessed by Satan at that time. But you have to remember, and that was kind of a trick question. Well, I didn't mean it as a trick question, but it kind of came across that way, that where does he get his power? Well, the dragon gave him the power. That would be Satan. But obviously that's under the almighty hand of God, because God's in control. Don't forget that. God is using this to bring about his purposes. Well, he despises anything of God, and he'll gather all those who are against God to himself. Do we have anything to fear? No. I'm planning to be raptured beforehand. Chicken Little. So, I'm trusting in 2 Thessalonians 2:2-3 and following. But you have to remember, do we have anything to worry about the spirit of Antichrist that is alive in the world today? No, because greater is he that is in you than that he that is in the world. And you have the whole armor of God. We've studied this several times. You put on your belt, that's your commitment. Then you take your breastplate, that's your joy. If you lost your joy, you need to check what's going on. And then you stand in the gospel of peace, that's your boots. And that gives you confidence to stand. Then you have the helmet of salvation. And why do you have to have that? It's because the devil wants to come along and give you a split personality with doubt and discouragement. Then you have the great shield of faith. It's a battle shield. That's to hold your chin up so you don't look at all the stuff coming at you. And that takes care of fear and worry, because then you have the great sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Some of us are going out with toothpicks. You've got to have a big sword, you know, and use that. I don't know, sometimes I think we women just like to give in to, oh, poor me. But pity pots are a pretty wasted place to waste your time. And you won't get any company. Nobody wants to sit in a pity pot with you. So, I tell you, just all of us need to look forward to what's ahead. We're going to be with the Lord forever. I trust that you've trusted in the Lord. Now, I had a whole pile of questions that came in. So let me mess them up as best I can. 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7, NIV, talks about the man of lawlessness. And she quotes, "And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way." No, she's taking that right out of Scripture. And then she said, I've heard that the restrainer here is the Holy Spirit. Number one, so is this the Holy Spirit? Yes. And two, if so, the evidence is this evidence of pre-trib rapture? Yes. Number three, if so, how will the tribulation believers receive the Holy Spirit? Well, just the same way you and I do, by through faith. See, the thing is, God is going to pour out His Spirit, and it's and people have many opportunities to accept the Lord, but the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is dependent on the Holy Spirit. So He will take us out bodily in one form. But the Spirit of God keeps everything going. Scientists say there's a mysterious element in each atom that holds it together. And I just believe that's the Holy Spirit. He's holding things together. And it's so beyond us and so beyond our understanding. So His purpose, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to draw us to Christ. So He'll be doing that during the Great Tribulation. But He also will have taken us home. That's a good question. This next question says, if the bride of the church are the believers, who are the invited guests? And the first thing I'd like to say is that not everybody that's in the church is a believer. A lot of people go to church for different reasons. Some men go to church to get business acquaintances or to give an impression that they're spiritual, or I don't know. There's lots and lots of reasons people go to church. But those who are born again, that have received the Spirit of Christ, that have their sins forgiven, are part of the bride. So it should say, if the bride of Christ are believers, who are the invited guests? Well, the invited guests would be Israel. They've been invited from day one. And so that you would find that both in Luke 14 and Matthew 22, where He talks about the coming wedding. This is a good question. How do Jews get to heaven if they don't believe in Christ? Well, let me tell you something. I could have written all day on this one, but I looked up Joel 2:27 and following, Zephaniah 3:14 and through 20, Zechariah 12:10. That's one of my favorite. Isaiah 54:13, Isaiah 59:20, Romans 10, Romans 11 that we had last year, and on and on. God is going to pour out His Spirit on the Jews. You're going to have 144,000 witnesses that are going to turn the world upside down and get the gospel out to the world. And so they will receive Christ at that time. Sometimes, I remember when I was a new believer, I thought I did a lot of, I really kind of helped God out by accepting Him, you know. It took a long time. And then now I look back and I think I was just a stubborn idiot. But He was wooing me and working on my heart all that time as I sat in a Bible study listening. I didn't know the Lord. And so it's the Spirit of God that brings you to Christ initially and keeps you there and lives within you. It will be the same for the Jews. Yeah, they're back in the land, but they're not back spiritually. Only Jews for Jesus have got it all together. And boy, are they great Christians. Then our sins will be remembered no more. What chapter and verse is this from? Well, in Psalm 103:12, your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. So if you can measure that, let me know. I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, oh, my sins are going around the world. Not so. And Micah 7:19 says they're in the depths of the sea. And then we have 1 John 2:12, Hebrews 10:12-14. Believe it, that your sins are no more. And a lot of us have done some pretty crummy things. And we remember it, don't we? We remember the crummy things we do, and we wish we hadn't done them. But when you bring it up to Jesus, and you'll say, remember what I did, Lord? I had that affair, or I had that abortion, or I did something. And he'll say, no, I don't remember it. And that's on his word. And I don't know if I answered this right last week, so I'll give it to you again. It's Revelation 14:13. What does from now on mean? When is that point of time? From now on, is it blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on? Is it a point of time during the tribulation or from when John wrote the book of Revelation? It's a point of time during the tribulation, because obviously the Antichrist is going to kill off anybody that becomes a Christian. We're going to be picking it up next week again when you get the mark of the beast and what it means. If you don't have that, you won't be able to buy or sell. 1 John 2:22, also 2 John 7 says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. Isn't everyone who is a liar and denies Jesus as the Christ the Antichrist? Well, you're working on two things here. There is the Antichrist. He's a critter coming. He's been waiting and waiting for his big moment, and he's coming during the tribulation. But there's the spirit of Antichrist that's loose in the world. That's the one that tempts us. That's the one that plays havoc with us. And that's why we need armor, and that's why we need to pray. But let me tell you, the Antichrist is also called the liar. He's the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. And you'll need that as one of your answers next week, so remember it. So, okay. Any other questions? Yes, go.
Will the Antichrist, like Jesus, be born of a woman and raised on earth?
It seems it would be. He doesn't have any desire for women. That doesn't mean necessarily he's a homosexual. It means that he's got a purpose.
No, I mean, will
singly.
He be born of a woman,
yes,
like Jesus? I mean, he'll be a human and raised here, like, and then...
Yes, I think it's an individual first, but then he becomes satanically indwelt. So he's against God. Everything about him is against God. And it's difficult. So... Thanks, Joan. Okay, any other questions? You say you're married to one, right? No. On occasion, I think we've all thought that. So let's close in prayer. Oh, yes, sorry.
What is the name of the author of that?
This is David Jeremiah, but... the quotes I gave you were all from Charles Colson's book. Colson. Kingdoms and Conflicts, I think, is it? Colson. Charles Colson, the one that worked for Nixon and then went to prison and then became a Christian. He's a great guy. What was it? Kingdoms in Conflict. I think it would be an interesting read. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word tells us so much. Sometimes we get on overload, but Lord, it gives us much hope for the future and much encouragement, because you know what's going to happen. And you know each of us, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone here today that's not sure whether they belong to you, that this would be the day that they would reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I need to become your child. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I want to be covered by the blood. I want to be in heaven with you forever, Lord. And if anyone here that needs to get their life straightened out, Lord, don't help them to remember not to put it off. We don't have this afternoon. We don't have tomorrow. So help us to live as unto you, Lord. And Lord, we long for the day when we'll be in your presence. Thank you that you haven't left us hopeless and helpless, that you give us the whole armor, that you give us your promises, and that there is nothing to fear. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. What a wonderful promise, Lord. You're just a breath away. So bless these ladies, Lord. Some are going through trials and troubles that are severe, and help them, Lord, to give them to you and to be healed and made whole. We'll just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.